M46 Handling Evil, The Four Levels of Science. Number 1A.
So let's just think a little bit more about that chart as one, though it has four accentuations of science. Oh, you see, I didn't say levels. Huh? Yes, you see, if we only take that concept of one through the four, we already see something which is very practical and necessary for us. On the level of science, we have the infinite one. That becomes or has the form of oneness, of infinite oneness, on the level of divine science. But it becomes unity on the level of absolute Christian science, unity, because in unity just one is related to another as oneness. And that unity becomes on the level of Christian science the sense of being made one. Not so much of making ourselves one with the infinite one, but the sense of becoming one. See, one feels that it is an operational depth which is depicted by this, and it says, and gives the answer to us for that old question which has always been at the center of religion, how to become one with the infinite one. And it answers and says, don't become one with the infinite one, but the infinite one becomes one with you. The infinite one is so infinite that it is oneness everywhere, and therefore in that oneness all is united, and that infinite unitedness makes you feel that you are one. That's the four levels. So we also can feel that all the impulsion that is ever going on is really from the infinite one. That even within ourselves we may have the desire to become one with the infinite one. That is already affected, not cause. It's already the effect that the infinite one knows itself as the infinite one, and therefore in its infinitudinous of oneness, it makes everything united to everything else, so that even makes me united with the divine. I become conscious of being one. It makes me one. It shows another thing, you see, that the self-operation of the infinite one has within itself all the power and the abilities and faculties to translate itself right down to human belief. See, it doesn't exclude human belief, so to say, but it gives to human belief the right touch, because it is the infinite one, the operation, so to say, of the infinite one, which says, I have an infinite idea. That idea is omnipotent, is omnipresent, is omniscient, is omniactive. And this infinite idea is that idea which operates in the realm of truth as well as in the so-called realm of belief. Doing what? It does that it makes one think rightly. It makes one become conscious rightly. And that excludes being conscious wrongly. So the infinite can touch the finite without becoming the finite. Just as the sphere is in a way finite and yet is endless, only as a symbol. See? This again gives us a sense that there is just one universe and not a diverse. A diverse of the universe of truth and the universe of error or belief. It isn't. The very nature of the Infinite One is that which translates itself right down to the point of making us conscious that we do no more believe a belief. That we are conscious of the Infinite One. And so it touches human mind, touches human belief. Therefore it also shows another point, namely that we must consider this chart always as each level including the other levels. That each higher level includes all the lower levels. That absolute Christian science is not a level by itself, but includes the level of Christian science. That we can never have the level of divine science without including within it the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science. And so with science which includes all the levels. This is very necessary because, as we are going to show afterwards, that for instance, if we only say, well, I only know the oneness of being, and that's the only thing I have to know. Error doesn't exist, error is not real, so I stay on the level of divine science. If I try to stay on the level of divine science without the others, I don't stay on the level of science. I stay on the level of mysticism. Because only absolute Christian science and Christian science explains the oneness of being, and Christian science explains why nothing is nothing. And so only then is the plane of divine science a state of consciousness which is scientific if it is built on the understanding of Christian science and absolute Christian science. Here again we begin to sense, you see, that we have to watch that we are not dissecting the Infinite One into four levels, but that they are always combined with each other. So it is with healing, for instance. Healing, you could say, well, I only heal on the level of divine science. Or healing should be done on the level of divine science. Well, I have been showing how Jesus was a scientist, that he was a divine scientist, that he was an absolute Christian scientist, and that he was a Christian scientist. He can't be a part of the whole. And therefore, even if we say that it is the level of Christian science which deals with concrete forms of sin, sickness and death, we mustn't think that therefore the other levels are not healing. They are also healing, but on a different, with a different method, on a different altitude, and with a different purpose, and with a different accentuation. Christian science is more or less healing as repairing. Absolute Christian science is healing as preventing. Divine science is healing as being whole in being. And science says, what are you talking about healing? I don't know it. So you can see in discussing with other people, the tendency is that somebody just stresses one aspect and fights the other one. Says, this is the aspect and that's the highest aspect and all the others are wrong. They are not. Nor are the others lower. They are different. We can't say, and that's why I come back to what I said yesterday, we can't say that the law of spontaneity which reigns in the microcosm is wrong because it is of no use in the realm of the macrocosm where the law of causality reigns. It's just another realm. And so let's see that we have a comprehensive sense of the whole. If I say that because people may come, they haven't come. I expected them to criticize me on that point, but they didn't. Funnily enough, they criticized me on things which are absolutely balmy. But we say that divine, see that in the Christian science is that level which deals with sin, sickness and death, but there are plenty of statements in Mrs. Eddy's writings where she says that divine science heals the sickness. But she means there's something different. The purpose is different, everything is different, you see. So, just as we have been considering the synonymous terms in the textbook, and we are considering that mind is expressing creator and law and power, somebody came along and said, "You are wrong, you people. Mrs. Eddy says, here on this page, the power of spirit to overcome matter. So power is not mind, it's also spirit." Well, you see, we say, yes, that's true, but that's already a combination. It's already an accentuation which is no more the main accentuation. Power is mind. And if we use it as the power of spirit, we have to use it in a specific way, namely the power of spirit over matter. It has a different accentuation. And so you begin to feel that also with these levels, you will not find textually, literally, a confirmation of what John Dolley explained to be the levels, or what I try or others try to show what these levels of science are. Textually, we may not find a clear proof. But spiritually, the text gives that sense. And it is the spiritual sense that matters and not the textual sense. Because the text of science and health is one big cybernetics. Goes all into each other. It all blends into each other. She wasn't teaching Christian Science in Science and Health. She was giving the whole thing in Science and Health, and didn't give a course of instruction as we do, where we dissect that whole subject of being into steps of consciousness and of steps of understanding. What we have to see too is, I think, that each level is propelled and impelled by the higher level. That always the higher level impels the lower level. That the lower level never really impels the higher level. Indirectly, it does. Indirectly, it does. Let's first see the positive sense. It is science that impels divine science. Divine science impels us to think suddenly along the line of absolute Christian science. And it's absolute Christian science which impels us suddenly to think on the level of Christian science. If we try to go upward from Christian science, we always come in our thinking to a point where we can't go further. And then we are pushed further, but not on the account of the level, but because a lower level cannot stand by itself. It is always impelled by the higher level to go upward. It's not the lower level that impels us to go upward. It's always the higher that impels us to go upward. And this is shown in many, many ways. So the tendency within us to go up the ladder is religion. But the impulsion of being to impel us to go upward, that's science. Can you see that? Because that is necessary, or else we say, all right, I start with Christian science. And then when I know that, then I go further. And that is perhaps that which has been at the cause that many have left Christian science and have left what John Dolley was teaching, because the tendency was to start with the days of creation and then expand them to the numerals and expand them to the synonymous terms and then expand them to the higher levels. Well, it's starting from little in order to gain all. The all impels the little. And if John Dolley tried to show at one time, especially in the years after the war, the system, he was showing how to go up the scale. Yes, but he had 30 years or more when he came down the scale. He started right back with the oneness of being, that there is one being, that the infinite is one, that the infinite expresses itself in oneness, that the infinite expresses itself in ideas, that these ideas have the power to dissolve illusions. And what comes out when the mist goes is that the days of creation come into light. The days of creation really are coming to light by the very fact that there is the infinite one impelling consciousness to think in an ascending way. The Old Testament is trying to go upward. That's why they didn't reach anything. The Old Testament said that I saw the angels going up and down. The New Testament says no man has come up to heaven unless he has come down from heaven. And then says afterwards, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And so we have to see that the up and down way is only again a working hypothesis for understanding in order to be in heaven. And no more come down or upward. Then we go past signs and come to the point of just the one infinite being in its infinite expression and experience. Yes, let's take a view at those levels in regard to the synonymous terms. Again, always under the aspect, are they separate levels or is it one? From the textual reading of the chart, one would think, yes, each level has its own synonymous terms, and therefore each level has more or less a separate terminology of the synonymous term. We have to see also that in its proper light so that we have a concept of one. We accentuate the level of science itself as to the infinite principle. All right. The infinite principle with its laws and orders and rules and system and methods and plan and design, all that what constitutes the very nature of a science. That's the infinite principle. But from that infinite principle, we know that it is only accentuating principle because principle implies all the other synonymous terms. So actually, we must be aware that even if textually we could reduce it to principle, that this does not mean that that is a splitting up of the seven synonymous terms, pushing the six away and saying only principle is reigning here. It's principle accentuated out of the seven synonymous terms. Gosh, I have so many things to say, because in cybernetics you will call that the principle of redundancy. And the whole cybernetics works on the principle of redundancy, which really, before that term has ever been discovered and seen, John Dolly was working when he presented to us the system of Christian Science on the principle of redundancy. The principle of redundancy means, redundancy is the affluence, the overflowing of everything, you know, more than what you need. That's a redundant sense. But the principle of redundancy means that you can state that redundant sense, that overflowing sense, in such a simple way that it is understandable. The infinite as redundant is so infinite that it is too infinite. But what science does is to take the infinite and reduce it to such a simple symbolization that it is easily understandable, and yet it doesn't lose anything of its redundancy. Now, a cybernetic model, if it is in a computer or if it is a biological a cybernetic model or whatever it is, has an infinite information and a redundant, abundant, overflowing information within itself, but always can pick out a very definite answer which is necessary. It can reduce the overflowing to simplicity without discarding the infinite. That's what science does. That's what Mrs. Eddy did. That's what John Dolly did with the chart. He took the whole infinite self-organizing being and through the principle of redundancy brought it back to some few symbols which are easily to understand and yet don't take away anything of the infinite. Therefore, this chart is applicable to everything. There is nothing in life, nothing in human experience, nothing that is ever going on which has not its solution within that chart. It's redundant. It's so enormous and yet so simple. And that's how the principle of redundancy works. So here, on the level of science, the redundancy has gone to that extreme to have only one super symbol and yet include everything. Then, with divine science, it is spread out a little bit because we may not understand this simple language which says being is principle. We may not understand it, so we have to explain it a little bit further and therefore split up that principle and say that principle is one life, one truth, one love. See, gives already the divine sense to the human. It gives to the human sense, the divine sense of what that abstract cold principle is. But actually it's only abstract and cold for those who don't know what principle is. And so in order to make it a bit warmer for the human understanding, that principle is explained as life, truth, and love, as the nature of being. In Absolute Christian Science, it is shown that it is not only one life, one truth, one love, but that they combine infinitely as life, truth, and love is one, as truth, life, and love as one, as truth, as life and love as one, as truth and love as one. So it's a combination, a unity. And the moment we come to that point, we ask, well, that's fine, that there is only life, truth, and love working as one in various offices and aspects, but what shall I do with the material universe? Where is the place within that absolute sense? And so we have to translate life, truth, and love also to the concept of mind, spirit, soul. Mind, spirit, soul, which is the answer to the material universe, to the dream universe. Because every universe of matter or dream or illusion is always built up of the counterfeit of mind, spirit, and soul. Always. If we understand mind, spirit, and soul, we have no more a material universe. Every material thing starts with mortal mind, with thinking. We cannot take cognizance of anything except through thinking. The subjective mind, humanly subjective mind. This subjective mind makes the object of his thinking as something outside of this subjective thinking, which we call matter, or object, or thing. And it is always definable through the human perception. Sense perception, human thinking, the counterfeit of soul. So if we have a proper sense of mind, spirit, and soul, and I come back to those three in various ways, especially in connection with cybernetics, then we deal with the diverse. Then we deal with the material universe. So we can again see that each level stresses some synonymous terms and accentuates them. But there are always all of them. Principle is always mind, spirit, soul, and life, truth, and love. Life, truth, and love is always implying that there is mind, spirit, and soul, or it couldn't exist. So we could see, what I wanted to show is really this, that each level has all the seven synonymous terms. Don't think because we only accentuated some of them on each level that they would not appear and are not necessary on the other levels. Take, for instance, divine signs. Divine signs, where we said the accent is on one life, one truth, one love, one principle love. But it is also one mind, one spirit, one soul. Because we cannot have one life without consciousness, without one mind. Life is mind, the Creator reflected in its creation. He shall have life, and we shall have life as we know Him. To know Him is eternal life. It's the one mind that makes us see the one life. Did I say it properly? The one mind is that makes us see the one life. It's the one spirit that makes us see the one life, because it's the Holy Ghost, the eternal development of the one life as the Holy Spirit. It's the one love, one soul that is necessary, because the one life is unchangeable, has identity, is what you call maintaining that identity. So without representative, without having the representative of soul, life wouldn't be life, would not be expressed. So we must see that it's always all, but these synonymous terms just stress and accentuate one level. Yes, now another point which I would like to show is this. That, which one shall I take for the minutes I have? Yes, let's take this one. How we come down from the level of the one infinite principle, which says in science, being is one infinite principle. But that principle says by itself, I am life, I am truth, I am love. So we can't separate the nature of God from the nature of the one being principle. But then it says, but this infinite one, which is constantly expressing itself as one life, one truth, one love, is infinitely expressing itself as the ideas of life, the ideas of truth, the ideas of love. And therefore, this infinite principle, which is life, truth, and love, expressing itself as infinite ideas of life, truth, and love, is, on the level of Christian Science, obliterating the belief in anything opposite of divine being. Therefore, it is coming to our thought as the one being. It's not coming to us just as one thought, a single idea. It always comes to us as the infinite one, but it comes to thought. It comes right down. So, and it does, in this way, really dissolve our beliefs.